Please turn your Bibles to the book of Acts and to chapter 17. Acts and chapter 17. We read together from verse 10. Acts 17, reading from verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. I've been on leave from my work as a pastor for the last several weeks, and I'm grateful for your prayers for me. I've come back feeling much more energized and invigorated. During my leave, I decided, among other things, to work through a book that I had not read in many years. It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by a brother called Don Whitney. I picked it up to refresh my memory on the need to practice the spiritual disciplines in my life. I also wanted to read it because the spiritual disciplines are among the things we as elders are hoping to teach the church this year. So I wanted to give myself something of a head start. And one of the disciplines I read about had to do with Bible intake. In that book, Don Whitney particularly made the point that we must hear the Word of God. We must receive the Word of God. We must meditate on it. We must pray over it. And we must live what it teaches to us. The apostles, Paul and Barnabas, met Paul and Silas, or rather met the Bereans. And the Bereans are a good example to us of this activity of hearing the word and reading the word and examining the word and living out the word. Paul and Barnabas met these people during Paul's second missionary journey. Paul and Silas had barely escaped with their lives from Thessalonica after their successful evangelistic work that had provoked the Jews to jealousy. Having left Thessalonica, they came to Berea, where they ministered to the Jews there in the synagogue. And these Jews responded to this word very differently from the way the Thessalonians had responded. And Paul commended them for such a response. In verse 11, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. So I'd like to begin my preaching ministry this year by commending to you what Paul commended in the Bereans. I wish, therefore, to speak on the subject being Bereans, or if you like, being like the Bereans. That's what I want us to reflect on briefly this morning. And there are three questions I would like to answer about being Bereans. First, who were the Bereans? There are four things we will say about them. First, they were residents of the city of Berea. We read about that city in verse 10. Paul and Silas were sent away to Berea. Sometimes it is pronounced as Beroea, more literally, actually. The Greek city of Berea had existed since around 400 BC. As a matter of fact, there are some indications that people lived in that area as early as 1000 BC. When Paul and Silas visited there, it was around AD 50. The city is located in the part of Greece known as Macedonia. At the time, it was part of the Roman Empire and was a center of Greek culture and learning. Today, the city is called Berea, and it's a commercial center. This is where the Bereans lived, and this is why they are termed as Bereans. They were residents of the city of Berea. Secondly, they were Jews. They were Jews. This means that they were devoted to the Jewish religion. It also means that they were set apart from the Gentile world in which they lived. And Berea was a pagan city, a wicked city, a Gentile city. And because they were Jews, as you can imagine, they had little to do with the Gentiles. These Gentiles did not know God, did not care about God. Many of them did not follow God. The Bereans, on the other hand, these Jews, they were pagan Bereans, but these Jews knew about God. They were worshippers of God, conscious that they lived in a pagan city. They were surrounded by wickedness. They tended to band together, and they separated themselves from these pagans and from their practices. And they established their own synagogue where they worshipped regularly. They were Jews. The third thing we must note about them is that they were unlike the Jews in Thessalonica, who also were part of the synagogue and worshippers of God, but who were clearly not noble. You see the contrast in verse 11. These, that is to say, the Bereans, were fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. You only need to look at what these Thessalonians did to Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas went among them to preach to them, to share the gospel with them. And they had great success among the Jews. But these Thessalonians, these Jews, some of these Jews, did not like the fact that their fellow Jews were believing what Paul was preaching. And Paul and Silas preached Jesus. And they particularly argued that Jesus was the Christ. This man who was born in Nazareth. This man who was preaching against the Pharisees and the scribes. This man who was attracting so much attention and who had much to say in criticism of Jewish leaders. People were following him. Their fellow Jews were believing him. They were accepting him as the long-established Messiah, the long-proclaimed Messiah. And they didn't like it. And so they pitted themselves against Paul and Silas and tried to disturb their ministry. Indeed, they tried to attack them. Paul and Silas had to run for their lives. They had to be protected by the Bereans. In other words, the Thessalonians were closed to the gospel. The Thessalonians did not want to hear anything other than what their forefathers had taught them. The Thessalonians were antagonistic against Paul and Silas because they preached the gospel. And these Bereans were unlike the Thessalonians. I remember years ago going to the home of an ex-Catholic priest with a friend. We were seeking to evangelize them. He and his family. His son received us well and then went to call his father, who, when he came to the living room where we were sitting, greeted us and asked what he could do for us. When we told him that we had come to share the gospel with his family, he responded by saying something like, "You've come to share the gospel with me? Out!" And we thought he was joking. He raised his voice and said, "I said, out!" We looked at each other and decided that it was safer to be out of there. And so we ran for our lives, in a manner of speaking. Just like the Thessalonians, this man sent us out. The Bereans were not like that. Which brings us to the third observation about them. They were more fair-minded, we read in verse 10. They were more fair-minded. Actually, it's in verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. In the Old King James Version, the word translated fair-minded here is rendered as noble. They were noble. And that word noble or fair-minded, as it is translated in the New King James Version, originally meant well-born. They were well-born. Well-born. And that means they were of a generous spirit. They were open-minded. They were not prejudiced. They were not hostile. They were not suspicious of others. They gave to others a fair hearing. That's what it means. Now, there was another sense in which these Jews were noble. Of course, they were Israelites. They were from the line of David, a chosen nation, a favored nation. The patriarchs were theirs. The oracles were theirs. It was said that salvation belonged to them. They were noble in this outward physical sense. But these Bereans were noble in that they were not just physically noble or externally noble. They had these characteristics about them, inward characteristics. They were open-minded and teachable and humble. Very much unlike the Thessalonians. I wonder who you are like. Are you like the Thessalonians or like the Bereans? Are you open to the Word of God, to the gospel? Are you willing to hear it? Are you willing to receive it? Or you are closed like the Thessalonians were? What they had from their forefathers was enough. They were not open to receiving anything else. They would attack anyone who suggested anything different. What are you like? When I was a college student, I shared a room with a man from an Anglican background. He was very religious, but he wasn't saved. I used to study the scriptures with him and share the gospel with him. He was very open and a keen learner, just like the Bereans. Are you like the Bereans? Are you like that roommate of mine? Or you are like the Thessalonians, who were closed? When I lived and ministered in South Africa, we used to move from house to house trying to take the gospel. In those days, they didn't have fences like we do around their homes. It was open in the white areas in those days. And we would knock on many doors. And on the majority of those doors, when we told them we wanted to share the gospel, the response was, I go to the Dutch Reformed Church. In other words, I don't need to hear from you guys. I am in the right church. I have everything I need. So please, excuse me. And we couldn't enter many of those homes because they went to the Dutch Reformed Church. They belonged to the Dutch Reformed Church. They were closed. They were not willing to listen. They were not willing to give us a hearing. That's how the Thessalonians were. The Bereans were different. They were fair-minded. They were open. They were humble. Well, these were the Bereans. Second question, what was the attitude of the Bereans toward the Word of God? What was their attitude? Well, we read in verse 11 that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They received the word with readiness. They received the word with willingness. And they received the word with eagerness. They were keen to hear what Paul and Silas had to say. And I want you to notice that they were displaying this attitude in the synagogue, because it was to the synagogue that Paul and Silas went. We read in verse 10, when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And of course, they spoke the word of God in the synagogue. The Bereans gathered there to hear the word of God. And as they gathered here, they heard the word read, because that's what happened in the synagogue. They heard the word explained, because that is what they did in the synagogue. And they heard the word applied to their souls. And they were keen to hear that. Furthermore, we read that they searched the scriptures to confirm the truth. That word searched could also be translated as examined. They examined the scriptures. What did that examination involve? A number of things. First of all, it involved that they be in the synagogue. Because it was in the synagogue that the scriptures were kept. People didn't have copies of the Bible, as you and I do. They were not readily available. But in the synagogue, they kept copies there. There might have been individuals who had copies, wealthy individuals perhaps, but most people didn't have the scriptures. To read the scriptures and examine the scriptures, they needed to go to the synagogues. If you like, they needed to go to church. Paul and Barnabas are speaking about Jesus, and they are arguing that this Jesus, this son of a carpenter, was the Messiah, the long-expected Messiah. That was a big thing for a Jew to hear. Really? They wanted to satisfy themselves that what these men were saying was true. And they went to the synagogue to examine the scriptures. They examined what they heard by comparing it with the Old Testament. They checked out what Paul and Silas were saying to see whether it aligned with what Moses had taught and what the prophets had taught and what the writings had taught. They examined the scriptures. Is he really the Messiah? How could they know this without Romans chapter 10 and verse 9? How could they know? Did the Old Testament have Jesus? Of course it did. A lot of us don't read the Old Testament, because we think it doesn't have Jesus. But these Bereans went to the Old Testament to prove what Paul was saying about Jesus being the Messiah. Theologian called B.B. Warfield, he described the Old Testament as a chamber richly furnished but dimly lighted. So there was a lot of furniture there, good furniture, but the room, the chamber in which the furniture was dimly lit. There was furniture there, but it couldn't be seen clearly because it was dimly lit. You might as well say, Jesus was there, but they couldn't see him clearly because the light was not so bright. He was there. And to see him, they needed to see more carefully. They needed to search more carefully because he was there. And they found him there. In the same way, brothers and sisters, we should examine the scriptures to see whether these things are so. Now, what the Bereans were hearing might have sounded strange to start with. Jesus is the Messiah? They went to search. Well, these days, there are many more voices that are claiming all kinds of things about Jesus and about God, many of them untruths. You find them on the internet. You find them in other media. There's so much information on every theological subject, on every spiritual subject. The modern media is also very busy pushing beliefs related to feminism, related to LGBTQ+. Not a long time ago, these things were clearly wrong. But because the modern media, the liberal media, keeps pushing these things, talking about them every day, they sound like they are true, acceptable. And so many, even Christians, are just accepting that unquestioningly. Churches are accepting that. And they are doing so because they are not doing what the Bereans did. Going back to the Bible to examine them, to see whether these things are so. Do you examine the Bible? Do you use it as your standard, your criteria? And as an evangelical, surely you must use it as the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Do you use it to examine every information, whether spiritual or not, whether theological or not, to see whether it's the truth? You should. May I also say that we should also use the Bible, the scriptures, to examine the creeds and the confessions. We are a confessional church. We hold to the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. It's not the Word of God. It's an expression of what we believe the word of God to teach. It's not the word of God. We therefore need to examine it against the scriptures. What this confession says, is it true? Is it an expression of the word of God? In the Reformation era, they had two important principles. You probably have never heard of them. You've heard of other principles, Latin principles, sola scriptura, sola gratia, solus Christus. But what about the principle noma, nomans, and noma, nomata? Noma, nomans simply means the ruling rule. Noma, nomata means the ruled rule. The ruling rule is the scriptures. The scriptures rule. They rule over everything. The noma nomata, the ruled rule, may include things like confessions. It's a rule, but it's ruled. Ruled by what? By the scriptures. By the Bible. And this is what the Bereans were doing. They checked everything. They checked the truthfulness of what Paul taught, and they did it together as a community. I'm not suggesting there was anything wrong to do it as individuals, but here they did it as a community. They heard Paul. They conversed around what he was teaching. They talked about it. They debated it together. It was a communal act, not just an individual one. And they were seeking to satisfy themselves that what he and Silas taught was true. And many people go wrong today because they do these things alone. Haven't you come across Christians who don't go to church? They claim to be Christians. They are born again, but they don't go to church. They are not part of a church community because they believe they can do it alone. They can interpret the scriptures alone. They can come to conclusions, theological conclusions, alone. And they so often go wrong. They are even preachers. And yes, they are part of the church. But they don't draw on the church. They depend on their own thinking, their own interpretation. They don't refer to the fathers. They don't refer to anyone else. Only they have the truth, they think. And they go wrong. The Bereans did it in community. When I prepare sermons as a pastor, I have to do hermeneutics and exegesis. I have to interpret the scriptures correctly. But when I have done my hermeneutics, I don't end there. I also check on what others think. I check on how others arrived at their conclusions, how they interpret that same passage. I go to the community. Very important. When you are not in the community, When you're not part of the community, you're not part of the church, not just this local church. There is a wider body of God's people. You are likely to go wrong. The Bereans were part of the community. Let's hurry on to our third and final question. What did they gain from having this spirit, this readiness, this willingness, this eagerness to hear the scriptures read and preached, to search the scriptures even after they have been preached and taught? What did they gain? Well, we read in verse 12, "Therefore many of them believed." Many of them believed. What did they believe? They believed what Paul and Silas were teaching. And so Paul and Silas's main argument was that Jesus was the Christ, the long-expected Messiah, the Savior of the world. They believed. They didn't believe Paul and Silas because they were Paul and Silas. They didn't believe Paul because he was an apostle, or he went by that title. They believed in what they taught because they found that what they taught is what had already been taught in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. It was the truth. That's why they believed it. And they didn't do it out of rebellion or pride. They did it with humility. They believed. They didn't just believe. Notice also that they continued to grow in the Christian faith. After Paul's departure, Silas and Timothy, we are told, remained in Berea. Paul left, but Silas remained. Timothy remained. Why? Most likely so they could continue to build on what Paul had taught, which they had come to believe. So they would continue to teach the scriptures. Very important. This is what they gained. And if you are truly hearing the scriptures and truly searching the scriptures, you will gain. Let me end with the following points very quickly. What I'm saying ultimately is, first, that we should be Bereans. We should have the correct attitude toward the word. The Bereans were ready, they were willing, they were eager. Just going to the synagogue pointed to their readiness and eagerness. Well, let me put it in today's language. Just going to church pointed to a readiness, to an eagerness to learn. And yet there are believers who will not go to church. There are believers who will not come to church. Do you have a desire to go to church? Why do you have a desire to go to church? I trust you want to go there so you can hear the word of God. I want to encourage and challenge you. If it is not your habit to be regular in your church attendance, why don't you say to yourself that this year I'm going to do better? I'll try and be there all the time. Unless I am providentially hindered, I will try to be there. And when I'm there, I will give my attention to this. I will hear the word of God. And when I have heard, I will go and examine the word of God. And I will apply it to my heart. And I will practice the things the word might be calling me to do. Challenge you to make that kind of resolution. We should be Berean. Secondly, we should use the scriptures to test all things. Ultimately, that is what being a Berean is about. Using the scriptures to test all things. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21 says, test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Test all things. Even what your own elders teach here, test them. Examine them. Satisfy yourself that these things are so. Thirdly, to do this effectively, you will need to have an acquaintance with the Bible. And to have an acquaintance with it, you need to hear it regularly taught. And in this church, it's not just taught from the pulpit on Sunday. It's taught in our home fellowship group meetings. It's taught in our ministries, youth meetings, ladies' meetings, men's meetings. In all of those places, on all of those forums, the word is taught. Hear it there. Study the Bible daily. That's what the Bereans did. They searched the scriptures daily. Study the Bible daily and meditate on it and pray. Like a man who has not eaten for many days, we need to voraciously take our Bibles and eat them, read them, meditate on them. And then finally, look for Christ. Look for Christ. What is it that they were searching for? Well, Paul's argument had been that Jesus is the Christ. And they went back to the scriptures to search, to see if that was so. And they were looking for that in their Old Testament. Read your Bible to look for Christ. And don't stop reading it until you have found him. And when you have found him, you will grow. You will grow to know him. You will grow to love him. You will grow to serve him. You will grow to be like him. Give yourself to that, and the Lord will bless you. Amen.